Domingo Santana, ooh, I wanna add you to my roster. In Roto, replacing Gio Soto, Giolito, and Brito, baby, where'd my fab go? Near the Florida Keys, there's a place in Miami, that's where you wanna be to get ahead of your league. If you put Posey at sea, he'll help in points or OBP. Heath will approve, cause he's under 30, cause Heath's an ageist on the podcast. Mazzara and Parra project to Amiwara, Herrera, Cabrera. Don't let the bait that scare ya, Machado or Bono. Or no,
Adam, Chris, and Heath rocking the mic today on the Fantasy Baseball Today podcast. Send us your emails. FantasyBaseball@CBSI.com. Good morning, guys. What's up?
Good morning.
Hey.
The new theme song has just gotten me so energized. Everybody loves it. It's a smashing hit.
Yeah, I felt a little bit uncomfortable with people like sounding like they were complimenting us on Twitter yesterday over the new theme song because we didn't do anything.
No,
it was all Doc Rotzer.
You did something, Chris?
I worked really hard on that.
You had the least to do with it.
I'm going to take credit for it, though.
Like, Adam at least wrote the first line.
That's true.
No, I'm going to take credit for it.
Well, I got mad at Chris on Friday because he tweeted it out before I wanted to.
What? You didn't tell us not to.
I specifically remember you telling us not to tweet it out.
I don't know if I did that. Well, either way, Chris is a big jerk for doing that, but he deleted the tweet, so that was nice. Hey, how about those Raptors basketball guys? Pretty cool.
Just the East. The East is terrible. That's all it is.
East is not terrible.
The East is terrible. That's what we do. If the Cavs win too easily, the East is terrible.
Oh, well.
If the Cavs then lose, well, that's just evidence that the Cavs are terrible, too. We are never willing to. Our null hypothesis is that the East is terrible, and we just fit all the puzzle pieces there rather than like actually be smart.
I'm going to say something as a person that isn't by no means cheering for the Cavs. Not amongst my top 5 or 10 favorite NBA teams. The officiating last night, specifically in the second half, was atrocious.
Last night? How about every single night?
It was atrocious.
Yeah, it was bad.
If anybody's going to get star calls, can it be LeBron, please?
Who got star calls? I mean, Kyle Lowry hit him on the arm on that steal, and that wasn't called.
Well, the possession before that, they called the foul on LeBron on the DeRozan, whatever that was, where he threw it straight up in the air with his left hand, and it never went close to the basket, and LeBron just touched the ball.
Well, I do have to apologize to baseball, because I will be turning you off tonight for the Thunder Warriors game. Like, I am so excited for this game. I cannot wait.
It should be great.
At least the second half, I'm going to watch all of it. I'll probably watch baseball until then. But
I can't wait to see what interesting way Draymond Green kicks Steven Adams in the nats and tries to, like, play it off as if it's just a nat. That video came out of him just flailing his legs about randomly throughout the season. That was all a setup.
Oh, for
that's
this?
All that was. He's been laying the groundwork so he could kick Steven Adams in the net.
Not all of us are as coordinated as you, Chris.
It's true.
Well, this is a baseball show.
Some of us think we can dunk.
So Heath does not think he can dunk.
This is going to happen.
Oh my God!
Hashtag.
Are you not aware of the Heath Cummings dunk challenge?
No.
Hashtag make Heath dunk again.
No, this is not gonna again. As if it's happened before.
Oh yeah, I had about a 4 or 5 year stretch where I could dunk. It ended in my early 20s.
Really? We have a bet that Heath, if Heath can dunk by Thanksgiving, I give him $100. If he cannot, he gives me $100.
Oh wow, what are you gonna spend it on, Chris?
It's not happening.
I'm gonna spend all of it at Total Wine. I'm gonna get a lot of really nice beer with the $100.
Hey, I'm gonna have to give up beer until I can dunk.
There you go. Comes full circle. Okay. So today on the show, we will talk baseball starting right now. Nick Tropiano had another good start. Rich Hill, does this appear to be legit? Shin-Soo Chu and Drew Stubbs are on the DL. So Joey Gallo got called up, but will it only be for a few days? We'll talk about the impact of the Kevin Kiermaier injury, Jackie Bradley Jr., Buster Posey, so much more. And I want to talk about two-star pitcher strategy. You know, it always seems like people are streaming two-star pitchers, and it always seems like I'm on the sidelines. I want to know about you guys. But first, I have a trivia question for you. Wait. Let me tell you what the most unsettling thing for me is. So I Skype from New York with one of the people on the show. It's always one person, usually Heath or Al. And I only see that one person.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are points in the podcast, like just, you know, 10 seconds ago, where one of them just looks at the others and starts laughing, or, you know, like not laughing out loud, but has this grin on their face. And I'm thinking, like, did I just say something really embarrassing? Like, what the heck are they laughing at? It makes me very uncomfortable, very uneasy.
Well, now
we're going to.
You realize that's just going to be something we do 4 or 5 times an episode.
That was really bad planning on your part to let us know that that bothers you.
Well, okay, so fine. So
especially letting Heath and I know
what just happened. Like, was it something I said that you were just
smiling? About? Okay. Nothing at all.
Okay,
nothing happened.
Everything's good.
Don't worry about it.
Here's a trivia question for you to start the show. Nolan Arenado is the number one first baseman in fantasy. Who is the number two? Third baseman. Who is the number two third baseman in fantasy?
It's Nick Castellanos.
Donaldson?
You're both wrong.
Ah.
Would you like a guess one more time?
What format are you using?
Both. Points and roto.
Really? I thought Donaldson was there yesterday. Did it change last night?
Very possible.
Okay.
Is Miguel Cabrera third base eligible?
No.
Okay.
Wow.
American League
third baseman.
Todd Frazier.
Up goes Frazier. Todd Frazier, now the number two third baseman in fantasy. Wow. And he's only hitting .243, but I looked at some numbers today. He has career bests in the following categories. Walk percentage, way up. Strikeout percentage, down to 18.4%, usually around 20 or 21%. And then there's this one for Todd Frazier. Home run to fly ball ratio, 20.6%, way up from, you know, the 12 to 13 range that he had been in over the last 2 years. Anyway,
well, he's in such a great park, and he'd always had to play in Cincinnati. Oh, no, yes. That's not it.
Exactly. I will say his hard hit average is way down, which is a little surprising. I'm not sure whether that's because of the home run to fly ball ratio, whether that is kind of skewing things. He also does have a massive infield fly ball ratio, which could explain some of the hard hit rate.
I got a question about
it. He has hit as many infield pop-ups as home runs this season.
I have a question about infield fly balls and hard hit rate.
Okay.
Because sometimes, especially like Miggy or somebody, the rare times that they pop out, they hit the ball like 400 feet in the air.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a hard hit ball? Because he hit it awfully damn hard to hit it that high.
I would say, based on how FanGraphs, based on the way their version of hard hit rate works,
right.
I don't think so. Because I think theirs takes into account both launch angle and like how hard the ball was hit.
Okay, so like if you pound one into the ground and it bounces up 40 feet in the air, and
yeah,
it's like,
I don't know.
Because they hit that one hard too.
Yeah.
I did not anticipate this trivia question taking us on this mathematical path.
I will say he is below average in average exit velocity as well. So for what it's worth.
But he was also slumping. I mean, he got off to a really bad start, and now Frazier's got 14 home runs.
Yeah, but he wasn't really slumping. He was still hitting for power.
Okay, but I would call him
power
slumping
all season. It's just been
he's batting like 200 for a while. Now he's batting 243. He's got 4 steals. Here's my question, because I wanted to talk about Frazier and sort of, you know, related but unrelated, Salvador Perez, who had 5 hits yesterday. Can you bank on both of them having bad second halves as they have each of the past 2 seasons?
I would say Perez is more likely, just because I do think part of his bad second half trend has just been
overuse.
Like, he's caught 400 games over the course of 3 seasons. Is that right?
And that's not counting the playoffs, where you can add another 30.
Yeah.
He I looked at the innings before this season, and over the last three seasons, he was like 400 or something innings ahead of the second highest catcher.
430 games from 2013 to 2015.
What I will say about that, while it's affected his performance in the second half a little bit, I don't know that. I think we're getting past the point to where that makes him more likely to get injured, because, and we did a study on this with running backs, where we talk about high volume, and high volume running backs are going to get worse next year. But there's also a pretty strong correlation between guys that have been able to hold up to 300 carries consistently and guys that continue to hold up to 300 carries consistently.
Yeah, but I feel like that's probably a situation where that's true right up until the point where it's really, really not true. And that I mean, that's just my guess.
Okay.
Well, like, look, I would like to sell Salvador Perez, not Frazier. But Perez, yeah. I just don't know. It's tough because, like, who am I going to get back? The catcher's so bad. You know, it's like, it's not like there are 12 good ones where I'm going to sell the third best catcher, which Salvador Perez is, number three in points, number four in Roto, get the 10th best catcher and something else and be okay with it. Like,
yeah.
You know, maybe Steven Vogt, and you hope that he turns things around. He homered yesterday, but obviously.
I mean, the difference in Perez last year wasn't like, I mean, he had a 720 OPS in the first half and a 680 in the second.
Yeah.
Oh, was it really only that? Because I feel like he was awful after the All-Star break.
That does not appear to be the case.
Really? Well, 2 years ago he certainly was. All right, so maybe I'm on an island there with selling Salvador Perez, but it is 2 years in a row where he has slumped in the second half, no? I mean,
Yeah, I'm okay with selling. The problem I have with selling him is the catcher position, as we seem to talk about every day now, is terrible.
Yeah, right.
And so, I mean, how many catchers are you really confident are going to be better than Salvador Perez? Five?
You don't have to get better, but you can get maybe close to and get something else that's really good.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Okay, let's move on. Who would you rather have rest of season? Miguel Cabrera, not third base eligible, or Anthony Rizzo? Miguel Cabrera or Rizzo?
I'm going to stick with Rizzo. If for no other reason than Rizzo's, I feel like quite a bit less likely to get hurt.
Yeah, I would go with Rizzo. The age difference, the injury risk, I just think Rizzo's better.
Okay, well, Cabrera has now pulled ahead of Rizzo in Roto leagues.
Yep.
Yeah, still behind knock against Cabrera.
I just think, you know, it's interesting with Cabrera how you evaluate his season. Because if we had this conversation a week ago, well, he's hitting for average, but the power's not really there. Now Cabrera's hit 5 home runs in his last 4 games. His slugging percentage has gone up from .477 to .588 in 4 games. He hit 2 shots yesterday, 1 to opposite field. You just don't see guys hit home runs like that, like Miguel Cabrera does. Very few guys.
Who does?
Big flies to right field. Who?
JD Martinez.
Oh, yeah, he does too.
He's got five of his 10 home runs have been to the opposite field now.
I think Jose Altuve also. Is that true?
It's not sustainable.
Can you look that up, though? Because I feel like they mentioned it on the Tiger.
It's already stopped being sustained.
As I said it was sustainable.
So do you think Cabrera will get to 35 home runs this year? He now has 11.
I would bet against I would take the under on 35.
I would take the under, but he'll be close.
I thought coming into the year that like 27 was probably about the right expectation. I mean, we're talking about a guy that hasn't hit 30 since 2013.
Yeah, but some of that's been health.
Right, but I think there's a pretty decent chance at some point this year health's going to be an issue again.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not. I mean, I don't think 35 is crazy, but I would take the under.
Okay.
3 of Altuve's 9 home runs have been to the opposite field, by the way.
Is that a lot?
It seems.
It's pretty good.
Like, yeah. It's not below average.
No.
Okay, guys. Who stood out to you on Monday? You tell me.
Well, I thought it was interesting. I mean, everybody's going to talk about Kershaw and Cueto. I thought it was interesting the two games the opposing pitchers had in those games. Brandon Finnegan and Drew Pomeranz both did their best. I mean, Finnegan's start is really weird because he finally got deep into a game and only gave up 1 run, but he walked 4 and only struck out 2. So that model's not really sustainable, but I do think it's a, like, this is a rookie pitcher that we're seeing kind of go through a little bit of a transformation in terms of he does this well one time, he does this well the next time, and just seeing him get through eight innings in a start, I think is a sign in the right direction.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I feel like it's going to take a lot more than this to get me to pick up Brandon Finnegan.
See, I think in a, like, he should be owned in deeper leagues for sure right now.
Yeah, it was 39% owned.
He's really borderline.
39% owned for Finnegan in a two-start week. So, all right, so, and then Pomeranz. Yeah, you talked about him. Pomeranz is a guy that walks a lot of batters but is not giving up a lot of hits. I'll give you the exact stats in 1 second. Pomeranz has thrown 53 innings and given up 30 hits with 25 walks, 60 strikeouts in 53 innings, only three homers, 1.04 whip. So that's pretty remarkable.
The hits part does not impress me.
The hits part?
No, he's got a 218 BABIP against. That's going to change.
All right, but still, 30 hits in 53 innings, even if that BABIP comes up. And the walk rate could come down because in the last 2 years for Pomeranz, it was 3.4 and 3.2. Right now, it's 4.2. I'm not saying he's going to be a good walks guy, but what's your overall thought on Drew Pomeranz this year?
The thing that's the most impressive to me is the fact that he's, as a starting pitcher, he's striking out more than 10 batters per nine innings. He's keeping the ball in the park. I do think there's signs of a coming regression there, but as a left-handed pitcher, we talked about early in the year about how Petco kind of had a little bit of transformation last year where it wasn't a great pitcher's park anymore, especially against left-handed batters. I think for left-handed pitchers, though, it's still a really good pitcher's park. Balls are not flying out near as easily to left field as they are to right field. So he's going to have a good year. He's one of the guys I've moved up the most so far this season in the starting pitcher rankings.
Yeah, he's just been really hard to hit. And you look at the, he's not going to sustain a 218 BABIP, but he's a 272 for his career, over
right,
344 innings. So I think you can look at him and say he's tough to hit. And it might be a situation where he is a lower BABIP guy, even if it's not this low. Maybe it's 270, his ERA comes up, he's more of a low threes, mid threes ERA kind of pitcher. But if he can keep striking out more than a batter per inning, that's valuable.
Would you rather have Drew Pomeranz or Vince Velasquez?
Velasquez.
Can Vince Velasquez do something, please? Could he do one good thing for once, other than striking out a million Padres? Because let me tell you something. They don't let him go more than six innings, if he even gets to six innings. And he hasn't been that good since the Padres start. He just hasn't. Come on now. Do something, Vince Velasquez.
Literally second most recent start, he had 10 strikeouts.
Yeah, whatever. I know. But what about all the other ones? What about all the other ones? I mean, that was his first good start since that game. He has a 3.86 ERA since that.
Against the Indians, three starts before that, he struck out six and six shutout innings.
No, but on the whole, he hasn't been tremendous. And, you're right. He's not a pitcher who's going to go deep into games. They're watching his innings. He's got, presumably an innings limit at some point coming. And he is a fly ball pitcher. So there are going to be stretches where he doesn't look great. But the numbers on the whole still look really good.
I wonder if a guy like Velasquez that we know has this innings limit, if in our rest of season rankings, he should just take a small drop every time. I mean, I can't imagine he's going to go more than 150 innings. And that seems high.
Yeah, he threw, 90 last season? Yeah.
And he's thrown 52 already.
Yeah.
So he has probably about two-thirds of the remaining innings as the rest of the aces.
Yeah. I will say there, I wonder if that's a little bit overrated. If we overstate how hard it is to find pitching help later in the season.
Yeah, it depends on the size of your league.
And that might be less relevant for Velasquez, whose pitch limit or inning limit is probably a lot earlier, but maybe someone like Jose Fernandez.
Right.
We probably look at the innings limit a little too much.
I think it's like a lot of things. It's probably both overrated and completely ignored by some people.
Yes.
So it's good to talk about, but not do too much about.
Hey, Chris Towers, who stood out to you on Monday?
Neil Walker hit another home run off a lefty. After having zero last season, he has four. He's been a lot better against left-handed pitching this season. It's very strange. I still don't know if I'm buying it. We're still talking about 34 plate appearances, but I believe he had 5 home runs against left-handed pitching coming into this season for his career, and he's got 4 already. So it's something that I'm definitely keeping an eye on.
How much of a panic move would it be to give up Brian Dozier to get Neil Walker?
That's a lot of panic.
Yeah, I think you'd still rather have Dozier and just hope that he starts hitting. I guess the one thing with him is the kind of nagging injuries that he's been dealing with do give me pause a little bit.
I think that there's a pretty good chance that whatever Neil Walker is the rest of the season, there are 2 second basemen on the waiver wire that will come close to replicating that.
All right, how much of a panic move would it be to give up Brian Dozier for Daniel Murphy?
I have moved Daniel Murphy ahead of Brian Dozier in my season-long
rank. Whoa!
I don't think I'd do that.
You got him fifth, Heath.
But it wouldn't be a panic. Murphy has made seemingly legitimate improvements, and I still have trouble buying it.
Yeah, Chris doesn't like it at all, and he's not going to hit 389.
Yeah,
and he's not going to have 1,000 OPS. Okay, I'm not trying to say that, but hitting behind Bryce Harper, I think he can drive in 100 runs.
See, the thing I just struggle with Daniel Murphy, and it might just be my own thing, is that he was so freaking consistent. Every year, you knew Daniel Murphy was going to give you like a 772 OPS just every single season, right on the dot. And now he's probably more like a, 830 OPS bat, something like that.
Yeah, but, I mean, he does have basically 2 years of that type of production a ways back in his performance. He was that guy for the second half of last year, which I don't ever get excited about second half stats until somebody duplicates him for 2 months in the next season.
Yeah. It's like Rich Hill. How about Rich Hill, guys? 2.18 ERA. He has a 1.11 whip. Last 2 starts has not been walking batters. 8 scoreless innings on 8 hits, no walks, 6 strikeouts at Seattle, and one of the leaders in baseball in strikeouts and strikeouts per 9, 65 strikeouts and 57 and 2/3. So, yeah, this is a guy who's picking up where he left off last year when he had a 155 ERA in 29 innings with 36 Ks. How legit is Rich Hill? And second question, would you be looking to sell high on Rich Hill?
He is pretty legit. I don't think he is too legit to quit.
Mm.
So like you can sell high on
Rich Hill. Who would you look for if you had Rich Hill and you wanted to sell him? Who would you try to get?
We talked about this on Friday in the office, I think. I think it's a name that came up as a Matt Harvey deal, right?
Yeah, I didn't think there was any way you could get Harvey for Hill, but if you could, I would do that.
Yes.
I would trade Hill, maybe see if you could get... I'd rather have Francisco Liriano. I'd rather have Verlander.
See, I view Liriano and Hill really similarly. I like high strikeout lefties. I don't know.
Maybe somebody just got really frustrated with Kenta Maeda.
Yeah.
Okay. So you would give up Rich Hill for Kenta Maeda?
Yes.
Interesting.
What about as a Dallas Keuchel buy low?
Yep.
Oh yeah. I mean we're gonna get one of those Cy Young Award winners. I think you have to do that no matter how many doubts you have. All right. Let's go to the news, guys. Yep. Actually, I want to talk about Nick Tropiano first. He's 31% owned. You guys interested at all?
Not particularly. Now, he was certainly a lot better than I expected him to be last night. he's kind of had, I guess, an up and down season. I guess, is he still young enough that we think?
He's 25. I mean, he's not a huge prospect, but he's been, someone that we've looked at. The problem is he's a fly ball pitcher, and so it's really hard to be really it's hard to sustain an ERA below 3 like he is when you're giving up when you're only getting 35% ground balls. Basically, Max Scherzer doesn't, and that's it. So he's probably more like a high threes ERA guy. But he's useful.
Yeah, well, Tropiano finally, last couple starts, been able to go more than five innings. You've really been kind of stuck below six innings in his first seven starts. And, you know, opponents are hitting pretty well against him the second and the third time through the order. So we have to see him kind of sustain it deeper into games. Two good starts in a row for Tropiano, though, against the Dodgers and at the Rangers. Would you rather pick up Tropiano or Michael Fulmer?
I think I'd still rather pick up Fulmer.
I think I'd take the Tropiano.
All right. No consensus. Let's go to the news. Shin-Soo Choo and Drew Stubbs are on the DL for Texas. So they called up Joey Gallo. It might only be a few days for Gallo. He didn't even start yesterday. Jurickson and Profar is likely going to be called up when Rougned Odor begins serving his suspension at some point this week. And at that point, Gallo could be sent down. In general, who would you rather own, Joey Gallo or Jurickson and Profar?
I think Joey Gallo is the better player. And I'm not sure either one of them has a clear path to playing time anyway. So I think I'd rather have Gallo.
Yeah, I'd take Gallo's power upside.
All right, but they're not must-own guys by any stretch, right?
I don't think they are yet, no.
The one thing with Gallo that you have to keep in mind is that it might be, if you have the roster spot, he might be a must-own just because, like, there's nobody else on the waiver wire that you can find right now that legitimately could be the best in baseball at something. And I think he could be the best power hitter in baseball. Like, I don't think that. I'm pretty conservative with young players, but I think he does have realistic upside like that.
I will one-up you, Chris, and I will say that Rajay Davis could be the best base stealer in baseball.
Okay.
What do you think?
That's fine.
I'm not sure it's one-upping him. Rajay Davis is a player that's actually stolen a lot of bases already.
Yeah, but he's on waivers, and he's, you know, not as on waivers as Joey Gallo, probably. Although, actually, Gallo was owned in, like, every league I looked at.
Yeah, I looked for him as soon as I saw the news, and he was owned in pretty much all my leagues.
That's just because it's our leagues,
yeah.
I think.
Maybe. All right, let's see. Well, let's guess Joey Gallo's CBSSports.com ownership percentage.
62%.
38%.
53%. So he is more owned than Rajay Davis by far. Jordan Zimmermann going to miss at least one start due to a groin strain. Zimmermann may be able to avoid the DL. Kevin Kiermaier out 8 to 10 weeks with a broken hand. I will ask you about Brandon Guyer in a little bit. Travis d'Arnaud resumed throwing. That's a guy that you might want to stash because catcher is so bad. Houston Street should begin a rehab assignment before the end of this week. Justin Upton was scratched with quad tightness. Steven Moya played yesterday. It doesn't seem serious. Upton's day-to-day. So is Mike Moustakas, who has a knee contusion. Alex Gordon is not day-to-day, though. He's going to be out for a little bit, maybe about a month or more, with a broken bone in his wrist. And I'll ask you about Paolo Orlando in a little bit. How about this, guys? Johnny Peralta played third base yesterday in his rehab assignment.
Get Matt Carpenter second base eligibility.
Yes. Is Carpenter already first base eligible?
Yes.
That would be very nice. First base, second base, and third base. Wow. Lucas Dude is going to be out a while with a stress fracture in his back. So Eric Campbell, if you're an NL only, might be getting some more playing time.
Yeah, that David Wright, I think I read, missed 58 games with a stress fracture in his back in 2011. So that kind of sets the timeline.
Cody Anderson, I'm going to guess you guys don't care about this, but he had a really good start yesterday. 7 innings, 1 run, 9 strikeouts against the White Sox, and he used his curveball a lot more. They talked about him adding this third pitch. He was usually just a fastball changeup guy. Now he's got this curveball, Cody Anderson. Not even sure he's going to make another start, but I don't know. Just want to throw that out there. Deeper leagues, whatever. Dane Perry wrote an article about Giancarlo Stanton. I encourage you to read it on CBSSports.com, talking about how Stanton is seeing a lot of sliders this year, a lot more than in the past, and he hasn't been great against sliders, I think, in his career.
Yeah.
Also, it's a good plan.
He hasn't seen a lot of lefties, which would kind of negate the slider once he sees more lefties. But it's kind of interesting. You know, Chris Towers
wrote an article on Giancarlo Stanton on CBSSports.com as well. I'm glad you saw it.
I can't plug your articles every day. Heath will get very jealous.
You could.
But, well, I have a question for you, Chris. What would it take for me to get Giancarlo Stanton from you in our editorial league?
I haven't changed my view of Giancarlo Stanton because of a bad 15 games.
Let's say Nomar Mazara and Drew Smiley for
no.
All right. We'll work on it.
Unless you think like Pedro Martinez's hypothesis that Giancarlo Stanton is dealing with, you know, late onset concussion syndrome, I don't really see what are you concerned with Giancarlo Stanton?
Me? Not absolutely nothing.
What is the theoretical concern that at 27 he just lost it? Like, that happens sometimes. That it happens a lot less often with hitters than pitchers, but it happens sometimes. There are examples of that happening.
But he's still hitting the crap out of the ball when he's hitting it. So I can't. It's
yeah. He's had stretches like this. This is one of the three worst 15 game, or as of Sunday, it was one of the three worst 15 game stretches of his career. But it wasn't the worst, and in each instance, he went right back pretty much overnight to crushing the baseball.
Yeah. Okay, great. So I'm not getting him from you, is basically what you're telling me. And we wish Ryan Vogelsong the best after he was hit by a pitch in the face yesterday. That was a spot start. I know I got a question about Glasnow and Taillon, but Vogelsong wasn't in the rotation to begin with. That was a spot start for a makeup day. So it's time for our tweets, some tweets for you. Gerald Carroll has a tweet. He says, I'm trying to sell Jackie Bradley Jr. Any opinions on what type of player would be good in return? Give me an example.
Giancarlo Stanton. I think that would be an excellent return. If you can't get him, let's see, maybe...
I mean, you want to do. I think when you're selling highs, you probably want to combine a sell high with a buy low.
Giancarlo Stanton.
McCutcheon. Sure. I mean, those ones, look, if you're going to get a first or second round pick, I'm not going to waste your time. You should try to get McCutcheon or Stanton. But what about Justin Upton? I don't even know that I would do that at this point. I probably would.
I would still do it.
I would still do it. I'm thinking like...
Puig.
Carlos Gonzalez.
Wait, listen on Puig. Totally possible that Jackie Bradley Jr. is legit. And it's totally possible that he has another horrible slump like he did last year. But two amazing stretches in, what, like 100 games or whatever, that's tough to do. And like, Puig doesn't do anything. It's like, I understand he's got a ton of talent, but he hasn't justified it. I think I'd want more than Puig if I were giving up Bradley.
That's fine. We can agree to disagree.
If I had rankings, I'd probably rank Puig ahead of Jackie Bradley. But I think
the point of having rankings, Adam?
You're not realizing the full potential of Jackie Bradley's trade value.
I agree.
If you only get
I was making the same argument in the office regarding Matt Harvey the other day that if you're going to buy low on Matt Harvey, you should buy low on Matt Harvey. Like giving up. Well, what were we talking about Vince Velasquez for him? I didn't think was buying low.
Oh, that is buying low. That is absolutely.
See, I whatever. The point still
stands. I just got whatever. That was great.
The specifics of the situation are less important. I don't know if you can really buy this from Jackie Bradley. Like, it's really impressive what he's doing. But like, most of the major league track record is still bad. And the minor league track record doesn't suggest that he's this big power hitter.
Okay, if you don't like Puig, what about Kane?
Yeah, I would probably do that, but I still think you need to get more. Like, again, because Lorenzo Kane is a buy low who's only had one good season.
He's had one great season. He's had multiple good seasons.
It wouldn't surprise me if Jackie Bradley were better than Lorenzo Cain rest of season.
Then I don't think you want to sell high on Jackie Bradley.
I don't know that I do.
I think you just want to hold Jackie Bradley.
The good thing with Jackie Bradley is that you probably don't need him. He's probably a backup outfielder for you, or at least he started that way. So you can afford to get rid of him. But like, I would trade Jackie Bradley Jr. for Matt Harvey. I would trade him for... Because I value Harvey much more than I value Cain. Kind of what I would look at, like a first four round pick for me.
I think we were drafting most of these outfielders we've talked about, right about in that Matt Harvey range.
But not me, that's true. But we take hitters before pitchers, and then what do you guys think about the pitching landscape this year?
There's a lot of really good pitchers who are looking like not good pitchers right now.
Yeah, but also, how deep do you think it is this year? I don't really love the depth. On a lot of my teams, I find that I don't have a reliable bench of starting pitchers.
I don't think I have that same issue.
No? No, I don't know.
But I think it's also a situation where I believe in track record more than 1 month and a half. So if someone's pitching poorly right now, it doesn't necessarily mean that I don't feel confident in them.
All right. Well, let's go to our next tweet. Tweet of the day number 2 from Mike. What's wrong with Buster Posey? He is not the top player we drafted in round 2.
I don't think anything's wrong with Buster Posey.
Okay. I think we all agree. Tweet of the day number 3 is from Joe. He says, I'm sorry, Mike, I know you wanted more of a breakdown than that, but
Chris might think there's something wrong with Buster Posey.
Well, no, I just,
he's got this look on his face
no, there's nothing wrong with Buster Posey.
Okay, well, sorry, Adam.
Hard hit average is way up. Strikeout rate's not up in an alarming rate. There's probably nothing wrong with Buster Posey.
All right, tweet of the day number 3 was a picture from Joe. He said, even the captain's face says this shouldn't be happening, and it was a picture of Captain Crunch's sprinkled donut crunch.
I've had it.
Really?
Yes.
How is it?
Subpar.
Yeah.
It's not like my 6-year-old really enjoyed it. So
it's not necessarily a ring endorsement.
It had nothing to do with Captain Crunch. There were no qualities of Captain Crunch.
It didn't just tear open the roof of your mouth as you ate it.
They made a sprinkled donut crunch cereal and put Captain Crunch's face on it. Which is okay. He's free to do whatever endorsement deals he wants to do.
Captain Crunch will sell anything. Where's that guy's standards?
What a sellout. Now listen, people. I know you probably haven't tried Captain Crunch's sprinkled donut crunch, but why haven't you tried FanDuel yet? And if you have tried it, you know what I'm talking about. It's the best. It's easy to use. The app is great, or you can go to FanDuel.com. The games are fun. The commitment is minimal. Contests start at just $1. We've got a daily Fantasy Live podcast that's going to help you set a FanDuel lineup every day. You can play fantasy baseball and win money every single day. And guess what? We got a special offer for new users. If you sign up today, enter your first league, you either win a cash prize in that league, or FanDuel is going to automatically refund your entry fee up to $10 for additional play. So a free chance to win some money, up to $10, you get your money back for additional play if you don't get a cash prize in the league. Go to FanDuel.com, click the microphone in the upper right-hand corner, use our promo code when you sign up. It's home run, no spaces, just one word, home run. Go to FanDuel, make it happen. We all love playing daily fantasy baseball on FanDuel, and you will too. All right, so the 2-star pitchers from yesterday included Brandon Finnegan, Bartolo Colon, Derek Holland, Nick Tropiano. That was a light day yesterday. You know, first of all, any of these guys strike you as more than just 2-star streaming options? Finnegan, Colon, Holland, and Tropiano.
No,
probably not.
And then I can't even justify starting any of them. You know, I don't play that game. Maybe I should. I'm not sure. I just haven't done it in all my years playing fantasy baseball. I don't chase bad pitchers or guys that are only 2-star streamers. I just don't do it. I'd rather have better pitchers, better 1-star guys, on my teams.
You're gonna miss out on 2-star Tom this week.
Kohler.
You're gonna miss out on 2 mediocre Tom Kohler starts. Like, I think it depends on what format you're playing in. There's very little downside to playing 2-star pitchers in head-to-head points, but in Roto, it can, or head-to-head categories, it can definitely screw your week up.
Yeah.
There's a decent chance that Tom Kohler ruins Heath's ERA and WHIP if he's doing that in a head-to-head categories.
No, he's gonna have two. He's got 1-star at home, the other start at the Braves. You can believe in 2-star Tom this week.
Sure. I don't mind 2-star Tom. He was my favorite option out there. But
was not a great 2-star week.
Even in a head-to-head points league, I never on draft day, I never approach it as I'm going to kind of, you know, forsake my pitching depth because I'm just going to stream 2-star pitchers. I think that's a dangerous game. I think you need to have solid depth. Ideally, you have a deep, you know, bench of pitchers, at least 3 starting pitchers and that you like. And then you can use those 2-star pitchers, whoever out of your like 8 or 9 starting pitchers has 2 stars. Then you could throw those good pitchers out there in your lineup.
I generally agree. You want to build a you want to draft better players. Drafting good players is better than drafting bad players.
Well, yeah, I'm saying you could draft better hitters and then just rely on the waiver wire for 2-star pitchers, but I think that's risky.
Yeah.
All right.
But on the other hand, hitters are more predictable than pitchers.
All right, here's a segment I'm calling What's Up With That? Are you guys familiar with the SNL segment, What's Up With That?
Did you guys see Farewell, Mr. Bunting?
The heck is that?
Oh, man.
I only watch CBS.
Just go watch it. It's a they did a Dead Poets Society parody in this week's episode of SNL, and it is freaking hysterical.
What if I never
saw it? It's one of the funniest things they've done in years.
Really? What if I never saw the movie?
It's still funny. My wife still laughed out loud, but it's funnier. The punchline is funny no matter what, but the build up to the punchline is funnier if you're a Dead Poets Society fan.
Okay. Oh, well, here's a segment called What's Up With That? Billy Hamilton has 8 steals in 10 attempts in 37 games. What is up with that?
What do you mean?
He's, you know, he had 57 stolen bases and 8 caught stealings in 114 stolen base opportunities, according to Baseball Reference. That is a situation where he had an open base in front of him, basically.
Last year.
That's more than half the time. That's a really high rate. He is down to 8 or 10 stolen base attempts on 30 stolen base opportunities. He's just running less.
Yeah,
like he hasn't had very many opportunities either, but he's just not running very often right now.
Well, Roto owners need him to run. He's 67% owned.
I guess I'm not as down. Like, I've had a lot of people tweeting me, should I drop Billy Hamilton? And I'm not as down on him, maybe, because I didn't really have high expectations for him. I mean, I think his ownership's about right. He's a must-own in a Roto League.
Mm-hmm.
There's really not much purpose of having him in a points league.
Yeah, but in a Roto League, if he's a must-own, like, can you even justify starting him at this point? He's not running. He's not doing the one thing that you want him to do.
I think if he's healthy and he's got 7 games, he's probably going to steal you a few bags that week.
Miguel Sano is batting .226. What's up with that?
I don't think we ever thought Miguel Sano was going to be a good batting average guy.
He strikes out a lot.
He's going to crush the ball. He is crushing the ball.
Fine. Miguel Sano has 7 home runs. What's up with that?
I think we talked about this last week.
Yeah.
About how he'd been just a little bit unlucky and things. He should have more extra base hits and more hits coming. Now, he had 2 home runs. I believe that was right before he hit home runs in back-to-back games, and then he's like 2 for 25 since.
He has a 16.3% home run to fly ball ratio, which is pretty good for the league as a whole, but it's well below where he was last season when he was at 26.5%. 26.5% is kind of the upper echelon. That's the kind of high end of what you could expect an elite power hitter to maintain. I think Giancarlo Stanton's like 28% for his career. Chris Davis right around there as well. But he does hit a ton of fly balls. He hits fly balls almost twice as often as he hits ground balls, and he has a 40% hard hit rate. So he should. What are you laughing at?
I'm just laughing at how ridiculous it is that he's having a bad year.
Yeah, I think the power is going to be there.
Yeah, I would be trying to buy low on Miguel Sano.
I have tried to do that multiple times.
All right, what's up with this? Nomar Mazara is not even a top 50 outfielder, and he can't hit lefties, and he has not even attempted 1 steal, which really hurts him among outfielders. He's really just, for a guy who's batting .303, Nomar Mazara is really not having a very good fantasy season. What is up with that?
When you say he's not top 50, I assume that's saying over the full season and not since he started playing regularly.
He's basically been up the whole season, no?
He's played in 37 games.
Shin-Soo Choo played 4 games or 5 games, then he got hurt. So, all right, fine. If you
37?
Gave him 4 or 5 more games, Mazara's probably like barely in the top 50, if that. He's not playing well. One thing I noticed, they've faced a lot of lefties. They have the 7th most at bats against lefties, and his slash line against righties is very good. .313, .367, .521. He has 2 extra base hits, 1 extra base hit, and 46 at bats against lefties. So maybe that's a factor. But Mazara, like, I benched him this week because he had a lot of lefties on the schedule, and I'm just wondering when we start considering dropping Nomar Mazara.
Well, I'm just looking at this, and if we're saying that he's not in the top 50. He's got 95 fantasy points in points leagues this year. He's played 37 games. Mm-hmm. So he's scoring, what, 2.8 fantasy points a game? So if he'd played another 4 or 5 games, he'd have another 10 or 12 points. That would move him up about 20 spots.
Okay, that would make him the number 49 outfielder in fantasy. He's number 69 in points, number 54 in roto.
Yeah, I think he's a young player who's still developing, probably can't hit lefties right now. That's not terribly surprising for a big lefty. A big young lefty. So, yeah, he's a part-time guy.
Okay. What's up with Bryce Harper? He's batting 185 in his last 23 games with a 455 on base and a 292 slugging. But this is a legitimate slump for everything other than walks for Bryce Harper.
Yeah, he's basically going through what Giancarlo Stanton's going to, except he's not swinging at the sliders out of the zone. And he's just taking his walks.
Yeah, I think he has to adjust now. I think to a certain extent he has, because he's walking so much. But it's fair to wonder if the fact that pitchers just aren't throwing it to him puts a significant damper on his fantasy value. Like, do you value Mike Trout over the version of Bryce Harper that we've seen now for half a season?
Why? Okay, here's what I don't understand. Why are people still pitching to Mike Trout? Like, his offense is much worse than Harper's.
Well, yeah. Pujols is behind him, and
Daniel Murphy's a better hitter than Pujols.
Yeah, you're right. But Murphy's only recently been behind.
I don't understand why Trout doesn't get this treatment.
I agree. I mean, look, Harper, no matter what, is better than 185 over his last 23 games. I'll snap out of that, but I guess it's fair to worry about in roto leagues with that, you know, batting average leagues that aren't OBP leagues. This is not the first time I brought this up. If it's going to hurt his value, I think it's fair.
And part of it is that he's not hitting for power right now either, which I think no matter how pitchers throw to him, I don't expect that to continue. So I think at some point he'll pull out of it. It is interesting. Bryce Harper, the percentage of pitches he's seen in the zone has dropped below 40%. For the season overall, it was way higher than that earlier, but pitchers are really avoiding him now. And he's been someone that pitchers have tended to avoid overall in his career. He's, you know, right around 40% overall. Trout is at 45% this season and 44.5% for his career. Why do pitchers throw to Mike Trout?
They like him. They just think he's a nice guy.
What the hell are you doing?
All right, one more what's up with that. Trevor Rosenthal has a 1.8 whip. All career highs. These next four stats I'm going to give you are all career highs for Rosenthal. 9 hits per 9 innings, 7.2 walks per 9 innings, geez. 1.2 home runs per 9 and 13.8 strikeouts per 9. All career highs for Rosenthal. What's up with that, Trevor Rosenthal?
That's really bad.
His strikeout percentage actually isn't up that much. The strikeout per 9 is up because he faces so many batters per inning. But his walk rate is nearly twice as high, which is a bad sign.
Wait a second. But all right. So
yes,
I'm trying to think about this. I know you bring that up a lot. The difference between the strikeout percentage and the strikeout per 9.
Strikeout obviously. Percentage is much more important than strikeout per 9.
Yeah, strikeout percentage is just strikeouts divided by batters faced. Strikeouts per 9, obviously. Strikeouts per 9 innings. He's only thrown 15 innings. Right. So
he's facing more hitters and getting
More hitters per inning. He's not necessarily striking out hitters more often. So once he stops, if he does stop walking 7.2 batters per 9 or 17.1% of the batters he has faced, you would assume his K per 9 will go down at some point.
Well, are you moving Trevor Rosenthal down in your closer rankings?
I've moved him down a little bit, I think, already once this year. I maybe a little bit, but not considerably.
I
don't think his job's in jeopardy.
No, but he's a high whip closer. I think it's fair to say at this point. Like, he was 1.27 last year, 1.41 the year before. Like, he's not necessarily an elite closer.
Okay, guys, and let's finish off the show. I'm going to give you 5 names, pretty available guys. Tell me if you're interested in any of them. Jose Ramirez homered in both games of a doubleheader yesterday at the White Sox. Paolo Orlando, 3% owned. He's batting 400. Leonis Martin, 7-game hitting streak with 3 homers and a double. He's been batting leadoff with Ketel Marte on the DL. Rajay Davis, 38% owned, a home run yesterday, 3 home runs and 3 steals in his last 7 games. We're not expecting power from Davis. And Brandon Guyer, 13% owned, killing lefties this year with an OPS over 1,100, but also doing pretty well against righties with an 849 OPS. So again, the names are Jose Ramirez, Paolo Orlando, Leonis Martin, Rajay Davis, Brandon Guyer.
I am interested in Rajay Davis in Rotisserie. And I'm kind of interested in Leonis Martin, kind of all over the place. I'm not sure. He's a weird player because he showed really solid power in the minors and then hasn't really since getting to the majors, except he is this year. Yes. Now that has come with a massive drop in his batting average, a rise in his strikeout rate, but there's a part of me that still looks at him and says maybe he kind of brings it together and gives you the steals, gives you, you know, 15 homer power. I think he's interesting.
Rajay Davis for sure is my favorite. I'm a little bit interested in what Guyer does with regular playing time, if he's going to get more playing time.
Yeah.
And then in AL only, I think Paolo Orlando is probably a guy you were ignoring because he was just playing sparingly. He's probably going to play every day for the next 3 or 4 weeks.
You were probably also ignoring him because he's a 30-year-old with a career 726 minor.
Right, but yes. if it's an every player that's playing every day in an AL only league, you want him.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think Guyer is just hitting too well right now to only be 13% owned. Whatever you think he's going to do in the future.
You definitely want to have Guyer in OBP leagues.
And who's really being hurt by this is Corey Dickerson, because he's been sitting against lefties.
And if you're playing in an HBP league, Brandon Guyer must own.
hey, he how about
36 pitches?
How about Adam Wainwright last night? You know, one of the runs he gave up was really not his fault. There was a terrible defensive play, just a bunt by Javier Baez, nobody covered first base, and that led to a run. But 6 innings, 3 runs. I'm assuming you're not that impressed.
I fully expect Adam Wainwright to lead bad pitchers in quality starts this year.
Okay. I mean, has the bar really been lowered that much for Adam Wainwright that, like, he gave up 3 runs in 6 innings and we're like, yeah, but the defense gave up a bunt hit.
I think the Cardinals do have, like, and one of the worst defenses in baseball.
And that is why he, like, he's not good.
No.
He can be decent, but, like,
4 straight quality
his
starts at home.
League average pitcher.
4 straight quality starts at home for Wainwright.
Congratulations.
Yeah. Jung Ho Kang, pinch hit, day-to-day. Christian Yelich could be back in the next few days. Odubel Herrera pulled from yesterday's game because he wasn't running out a ground ball, and that's not the first time his effort has been called into question.
Because he's used to walking so much.
Angel Pagan left with a hamstring injury. That moved Brandon Belt to the outfield. This is a lingering issue for Pagan. Homer Bailey should be back the first week of June. Zach Neale is going to pitch for the A's tomorrow at Seattle. Any interest? I don't know anything about him.
I know nothing about him.
All right. Ian Kennedy started yesterday at Minnesota. It was a shortened start because of a rain delay. And Eduardo Nunez did stay in the lineup for the Twins. I think he batted leadoff with Eduardo Escobar back at shortstop. Nunez did, though. He played second as Dozier got the day off, so we still don't know how that situation is going to play out. And is there anyone you could think of in the Twins bullpen that might replace Kevin Jepsen, who has been horrible? Fernando Abad is, like, the best that I saw. Trevor May has been bad. Presley, I think, has been bad. They have a terrible bullpen and a terrible team.
Sounds like a bad situation.
I mean, they have a terrible team.
Fernando's their best option.
Who is?
Well, Trevor May be.
Okay. I like it. If you want to hear some DFS advice, check out Heath and Chris on the DF Live, Daily Fantasy Live podcast. Time for emails at fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. Did you guys see that BABIP or BABIP email I sent you from Bill?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. Let's sum it up. It was a really interesting email. He gave us a chart of the, like, top 20 pitchers in BABIP against. I say BABIP, I'm never changing. Batting average on balls BABIP in play against. And included their hard contact rate, their soft contact rate, their medium contact rate to see who was really getting unlucky. And this information was from FanGraphs. Who's getting unlucky and who's just getting hit really hard, and that's the reason for their high BABIP. What did you guys see when you looked at that list?
One thing that I that the data has borne out, and that I have noticed anecdotally as well, is that hard hit rate is not as valuable as a predictive measure for pitchers as it is for hitters. Pitchers have there was an article on 538 last season, I believe, that said that the correlation between a basically hitters have five times as much impact on a on hard hit or on exit velocity as pitchers do. Basically, the spread for pitchers in exit velocity and hard hit rate just isn't quite as wide.
I think that's right. What I would look for, and I this is more anecdotal than anything else, but if a pitcher has a really high hard hit rate and a really low soft contact rate, I'm more concerned than if a pitcher has a high hard contact rate or low soft, but there's just a lot in the medium. Because mm-hmm. I think that's kind of, I mean, first off, it's kind of subjective, right?
It's arbitrary.
Right. But there, I mean, there's definitely names on this list that we expect to break back out. And there's some guys, Matt Harvey, 23% soft contact rate. That's a really good number. And we give credit to guys like Arrieta and it used to be Keuchel for being good at generating soft contact. Colin McHugh is a guy that I think some people have probably given up on.
Yeah.
I'm not sure that I necessarily agree with doing that either. I mean, he's got the lowest line drive rate on this list at 18.6%. And that is not as predictive, I don't think. Like a high line drive rate over eight starts doesn't mean you're going to have a high line drive rate over the rest of the season.
Yeah.
But I write once a month or so, I'll write a regression piece. And there's three or four different things I'm looking for, but this is one of the first lists that I'll look at is pitchers that have the highest BABIP against. Cause it's most of them are probably going, I mean, now the guy at the very top, Willie Peralta, has a 386 BABIP. He's getting shelled.
Yeah.
He's not good. Yeah. He doesn't fool anyone. I would expect him to be amongst the BABIP leaders all season long.
Yeah, but then after Peralta, you got Harvey, Pineda, Jimenez, McHugh, Price, Keuchel, Archer, Jose Fernandez. How about that group of four? Price, Keuchel, Archer, Jose Fernandez, Robbie Ray, Waka, Wainwright, Matt Cain, Greinke, Rodon, Syndergaard, Weaver, Iwakuma, Wei-Yin Chen, and Sonny Gray. All right,
you know, so I've got a piece coming out today about 10 pitchers who were drafted in the top 100 on average who are off to mediocre starts. I wonder if we just is Michael Waka that good?
No. And he doesn't miss enough bats because the defense behind him is so bad. I think Peralta could help Waka, though.
But even regardless of defense, he's had a 371 xFIP, a 388, and a 380 so far in his career. His FIP was 317, 387, 347. I don't even know how good he's going to be when the BABIP normalizes. Like, I think he's maybe kind of overrated.
I think he's good.
Yeah.
I don't think he has really any prospect of being great.
Yeah, I think he's fine.
But I think he's going to be a very nice number two to three starter in fantasy.
Yeah. I don't know how I'd feel about him as my number two.
It's borderline, probably three. I've got him in the mid-20s, my rank.
All right, I just want to bring up one guy in this BABIP list here. It's Chris Archer, because he's the only player on this list, top 20 in BABIP allowed by pitchers. Starting pitchers that has a higher hard contact rate and that he's getting hit harder than Willie Peralta. Chris Archer has the highest hard contact rate, and
his
David Price pretty hard too, but Archer's getting crushed.
Chris Archer's pitches aren't working right now. I don't know why. I'm not sure if it's no sign of injury. I don't know if it's a mechanical thing, but all three of his pitches are just getting hit harder than last season. They're all pretty much getting fewer swings and misses. The slider swing and miss rate is a little lower, but the fastball and changeup swing and miss rates have evaporated. It's really weird.
Yeah. Well, I'm still fine with him.
I would buy low.
All right, this is from Adam. I know you've talked about faltering stars with elite status coming into the season, and I don't mean to ask a question you've already addressed, but With that said, at what point is it okay to give up on a formerly elite star with a high average draft position? In my particular case, it's Justin Upton. Has he become droppable? And if not, when does he achieve that dubious distinction?
I don't think you can ever drop him.
Okay. If he has these same numbers at the All-Star break, you can drop him.
I still probably wouldn't have the guts to do it.
Yeah, it just like...
It also depends on like what league you're in and what's on the waiver wire.
Yeah, maybe in a 10-team league. But at this point, is it safe to say that...
Oh, definitely in a 10-team league.
At this point, though, 8 weeks into the season, is it safe to say that there's no elite player that is droppable yet?
Probably. Like, unless there's like... Like, how do you define elite?
All right, fine. First 6 to 7 rounds of the draft.
Okay, Adam Wainwright was being drafted in the first 6 or 7 rounds. Okay. So, yeah, I think there are some players in that range that are droppable, but it's cases where there's an actual explanation for their struggles. If it's just like, Justin Upton can't hit right now, I don't think that's sustainable.
All right, Andrew from Los Angeles wants to know what to do with D. Gordon, who's just... eating up a roster spot. He can't stream pitchers because of D. Gordon. Should he drop Gordon at this point?
Yeah. If the only way I'm holding on to D. Gordon is if I'm not noticing that I'm holding on to D. Gordon. Mm-hmm. Like if he's not, we've got our podcast league where you have 7 bench spots. I think in that league, you're probably holding on to him.
Yeah.
But if you're like constantly wishing you could drop D. Gordon, then just do it.
Brian wants us to grade a trade. Brian from Pittsburgh in a 10-team roto league. Gives up Rich Hill, Addison Russell, and Will Myers. Rich Hill, Addison Russell, Will Myers. Gets Matt Harvey in. Corey Seager.
A+. A+.
Yeah, that's a really good... I like that one.
That is well done.
I don't think it's an A+, because that means you're completely
ripping
the guy off.
Yeah, I think it's an A-. I'm a little... not quite as high on it as you, but it's a good trade.
Solid trade. This is from Ben. He says, hey, Barney, Baby Bop, and BJ. Any idea?
Yeah. Beloved children's characters?
Who's Baby Bop?
I have no idea.
All right. We'll look it up. 6x6 OPS league. I'm in first place. I'm growing impatient with Correa and Encarnacion. I just dropped Stephen Vogt for Chris Herrmann. Should I wait it out on these guys or trade them to start trying to find alternatives?
Just be more patient.
Yeah. Try to get Stephen Vogt back, by the way.
Baby Bop was the annoying green triceratops in Barney.
Oh.
And BJ was the weird yellow dinosaur.
Okay.
One of the worst shows ever put on television.
Really? I don't think I've ever seen it. I mean, I've seen like bits and pieces, but
I never liked Barney, even as a kid.
Wait, you said Barney. I was thinking of that stupid animated dinosaur show they did.
Oh, dinosaurs.
Yeah.
That was not animated.
The Not the Mama thing?
Yeah, no, that was great.
No, those were real dinosaurs, dude.
That was worse than Barney.
Last email from Nick. Dear Joe, Harry, and Vin.
Famous broadcasters. Yeah. Harry Carey, Vin Scully, Joe Buck.
Joe Morgan? Don't do that.
Joe Morgan, maybe? Should I trade?
Somebody else.
Should I trade Kershaw for Scherzer and Carrasco in a 10-team mixed league?
Ooh.
Yeah?
I mean...
Scherzer's the third best pitcher in baseball?
I think fourth.
And Carrasco is maybe top 10? He could get there?
That was a big time stretch.
No, I don't think so. Not this year. This year he could with the way Archer, Keuchel, and Harvey have been pitching. I think it's realistic.
The only way that trade goes bad for you is if Clayton Kershaw has the greatest season in the history of baseball, which she's currently on pace to.
Yeah.
I mean, you know. On pace.
He's probably still got some starts left against the Padres, so.
You know, they have skill. We talked about Sierra before. It's skill interactive ERA. It's just supposed to be the best way to measure what the pitcher's done.
Oh, God.
Kershaw threw a complete game shutout with one walk last night.
Uh-huh.
His Sierra went up.
Yeah, his strikeout to walk ratio went way up yesterday.
Yeah, 7-1. That's terrible for him. All right, that's it for today's show, guys. I'm sorry, I got to wrap things up here. For Heath Cummings and Chris Towers, I'm Adam Azer. Have a great Tuesday. Adios. Machado or Bono or